hand of the Holy Spirit. Hearts to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I've said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord.
And shall not be put to shame.
I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever.
With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations.
Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord.
Your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones.
Blessed are the people who know the festal shout.
Who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face.
Who exult in your name all the day.
And in your righteousness are exalted.
Almighty God, you turn the heart of him who persecuted the church and by his preaching caused the light of the gospel to shine throughout the world. Grant us ever to rejoice in the saving light of your gospel and following the example of the Apostle Paul to spread it to the ends of the earth. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The conversion of St. Paul is from the book of Acts, the 9th chapter. Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise, and go to the street called Straight, at the house of Judas, and look for a man of Tarsus, named Saul. For behold, he is praying. Then he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has the authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine, to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized. And taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is this not the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon his name? And has he not here come for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let the peoples praise you, O God, and let all the peoples praise you. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us.
That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us.
God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Let all the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The second reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Galatia, the first chapter. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. And then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remain with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles, except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. But then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us now is preaching the faith that he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 19th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Then Peter said in reply, "See, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being
being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
From the book of Acts, chapter 9. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. This is our text. Today we are celebrating the conversion of St. Paul. The conversion of a man who was an enemy of the church and a persecutor of Christians, who became perhaps the Lord's greatest instrument of preaching Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins. As we approach the conversion of St. Paul today, it occurred to me that one of the things we're looking at here is the conversion of an enemy and a persecutor. And I'm reminded of the words of our Lord. Jesus said this. He said, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And I'd say that sounds about right. That is the sort of thing you would hear, pretty standard stuff. Love neighbor, hate enemy. It comes naturally to us, and we've been doing it for most of our lives. But Jesus says to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Say what? Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I think perhaps we've missed just how countercultural those words are. We could say not just countercultural, but perhaps counter everything. I mean, think about how we and people live in this world. We tend to divide the world into two camps, our side and the other side. Those who are for us and those against us. Friends and enemies, Red Sox fans, oh, and Yankee fans, people we love and people we are allowed to hate. Maybe the word enemy sounds a little bit strong to you. I'll be honest, it's not a word I like to use or even a category I like to think in. But what about these? How about the person who looked sideways at you last week? Or the one who spoke harshly to you? Or that guy or that gal who just rubs you the wrong way every time? The person who stabbed you in the back at work? You know the one I'm talking about. Or what about the person who walks right past you without even acknowledging your existence or saying hi? Or that friend with whom you had a falling out 40 years ago, or perhaps 4 weeks ago. Or that family member that you just struggled to get along with because they've gone off the deep end. What about that person? This is what Jesus says. Love him. Pray for her. Love him and pray for her. Which is not the way our world tends to handle these things. The world says if someone looks at you sideways, look sideways at them back. If they stab you in the back, arm yourself for next time. If they've harmed you, take your revenge and get it now. That's what the world says. But that's not what Jesus says. love him, pray for her. And if we can't even do it for that family member that we struggle with, or that coworker that we find to be a pain, or the fellow member of our church that rubs us the wrong way, then how in the world would we be able to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us? And who would even do such a thing anyway? Who would do that? Jesus would. Let's start right there. Jesus would live like that. Jesus, in his dying woes, hanging on the cross, prays, "Father, forgive them." The Jewish leaders, the Roman soldiers, the mocking crowd, the cowardly disciples, he prays, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," while he pours out his blood for them. I mean, that's exactly how Jesus chooses to spend his final minutes, loving his enemies and praying for those who persecute him. They're railing at him, they're spitting on him, they are crucifying him, and what does he do? He keeps burning coals on their heads by forgiving them and praying for them. There's a true son of your Father who is in heaven. Now, I know we look at what Jesus does and we say, well, that's Jesus for you. He can do that. He can do anything. He's perfect. You can't expect me to live like that. And there's something honest about that, right? I mean, I can't expect you to live like that, can I? Not by your own strength. Not by your own power. Not when you're thinking only of yourself. Of course not. But what if? Just imagine this for a minute. What if you were firmly convinced that Jesus, who was crucified, is risen from the dead? What if you had his words hanging in your ears day after day, week after week of your life? What if this image was emblazoned into your mind? What if his spirit was dwelling in you? If that were the case, might it be possible to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you? For Stephen, it was. You might remember Stephen, the very first Christian martyr, described for us in Acts chapters 6 and 7. If you go to the end of chapter 7, while his enemies are enraged, it says they are grinding their teeth at him, dragging him out of the city and picking up stones to stone him. He fell on his knees and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, don't hold this sin against them." And when he said this, he fell asleep. It sounds to me like this was his very last breath. The last thing he did was to fall on his knees and pray for his enemies and his persecutors. "Lord, don't hold this sin against them. Forgive them." And you know who was standing right there while he prayed these words? You know who it was that held the coats of those who threw the stones? You know who cheered and fist pumped when Stephen died? A young man named Saul. Saul of Tarsus was one of those for whom Stephen prayed. One of those enemies whom Stephen loved. And if you look at what happens after Stephen's death in the rest of chapter 7, chapter 8, the beginning of chapter 9 of the book of Acts, it sure doesn't seem to make any difference at all. He loved his enemies and he prayed for them. And they seemed to go on and on persecuting Christians. Listen to these two descriptions of Saul. Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. The next chapter. Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for a letter to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, any who were Christians, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And if we stopped right there, you might say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. What good does that do? Saul was on the warpath. Saul hated Christians. Sometimes I think that we live in a world that's a little more lukewarm than this. Once in a while, we might run across someone who is rabidly anti-Christian, but more often we're around people who simply just don't care. They're okay with you being a Christian. They don't hate you. They might mock you a little bit. They're not going to persecute you. But Saul was one of those who was out for blood. He wanted the Christians dead and gone. And he was doing it. It says from house to house, men and women, putting them in prison. And when he'd done it in Jerusalem, he didn't have enough. So he went to Damascus to do it again. And that's when it happens. That's when the love does its work. That's when the prayer is answered. While he's got these letters on the way to Damascus to grab any Christians he can find there, a light shines from heaven. And a voice speaks, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul says, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Which is an amazing thing because as far as we know, Saul never laid a finger on Jesus in his life. But he was persecuting the body of Christ, those who belonged to him. And when Jesus sees his church suffering, he identifies it as his own suffering as well. And that's the moment when it begins. When Saul, who has been an enemy and a persecutor of the church, is converted and changed, not just into being lukewarm or tolerating Christians, and not only into being a Christian himself, but into being perhaps the greatest advocate and preacher of Christ that our world has ever known. We may think that it's impossible. We may look at the people around us who are hostile or indifferent to Christ. We may look at friends or family members and think that it could never happen, given the way they act or the things they say. And yet, how many of them thought that about Saul? And how many Christians, not only Stephen, but others, had spent days and nights praying for Saul by name, asking for his conversion, praying that he might see the light. And then it came. This amazing scene. Saul, who falls down to the ground, blinded by the light. Those with him who hear the voice but can't make sense of it and don't see anything. And Saul rises for the next 3 days, groping in darkness, but with a mind that is becoming ever clearer. All that time when he was hunting down Christians, he thought that he was living by the light, when he was really in the darkness. And now when he is physically in the darkness, the light begins to shine. Christ has revealed himself to the sinner to kill and to make alive, to put to death the old Saul and bring out a new Saul whom we know as Saint Paul. And it started with a word from outside him. Not his own ideas or his own thoughts or his own connecting the dots, but he needed a word from beyond, as we do as well. We live not from the word that comes from within us. We live from the word that comes from the very mouth of God himself. That is what has made us Christians and keeps us Christians again and again and again. An external word that changes us, that gives a new identity, like the word you heard already this morning. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. Or the word you heard when you were baptized, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That word that comes from outside of you to you and makes you new. Converts us again and again. This is what God is doing and has done for you. And if he can make you new, if he can forgive your sins, if he can grant you a new life and strengthen you with his food, can he not also work inside of you that love for your enemies and a heart that desires to pray for those who persecute you? When Stephen prayed that prayer, I wonder if he really knew what he was praying for. When the other Christians named Saul before Jesus' throne, asking that he might be softened and converted, did they know what they were going to get? When you pray for your enemies, those who are enemies of Christ, those who persecute the church, do you have any clue what you might be asking for? Saul, who became the greatest missionary of all, as God says, his chosen instrument set apart to proclaim that Jesus is the Christ, that he is God's own son. That's what Paul does. I'm reminded in our own day of another story. I think I've mentioned it before, perhaps not from the pulpit. You may be aware of this, or perhaps not. A woman named Rosaria Butterfield, a Christian in our own day, who for 36 years of her life spent them as a practicing lesbian and teacher of queer studies at a public university, who was highly regarded and sought after, who was writing a book against Christianity, when she received a letter from a pastor in the mail that she couldn't quite throw away and she couldn't quite file with her fan mail, and it started her wheels spinning. And she started going to the church, sitting in the back and listening. She started going to the pastor's house for meals. And eventually, the light broke through. And she became a Christian, married a pastor, writes about her faith and her conversion, and like St. Paul, found her life entirely changed. There's a moment where she says that she basically lost everything in her life, her work, her relationships and friendships, and headed out with her dog to the new life that she would have as a Christian. And a beautiful testimony to Christ. Those who prayed for her over the years, did they know what they were asking? Did they know what would happen? Did they know how she would believe and what God would do through her? So it is with St. Paul as well, who proclaimed the mystery of the gospel to the Gentiles and who makes known to us that we are saved by grace through faith, not by our own works, but by what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. My encouragement to you today, as one who is loved by Christ, as one who has been forgiven by Christ, is to actively love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. If you hear of someone who is against Christ and against the church, bring that person before the throne of God and name them to your Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns and who loves his church. And remember the words of St. Paul, who after he brought those letters to Damascus to persecute Christians, became the one who would travel from city to city, making Christ known and sending letters to the places that he had been. Remember what he wrote to the Romans. "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies," and surely he's thinking of himself, "if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more that now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." Reconciled to God by the death of his Son. So we have been. And so he shed his blood for our enemies and for those who persecute Christians, for the likes of Saul who became Paul, and others in our own day. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns, would have us do this now, to love them and to pray for them, knowing that he is more than able to change those who are against him to be for him, for he has shed his blood that they might be reconciled. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
The thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the enemies of Christ and those who persecute the church, that God would turn their hearts so that their sin might be washed away in the flood of holy baptism. Their hearts believe and their lives confess that Jesus is the Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all pastors, that God would give them the courage of St. Paul to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, and that he would open the ears and hearts of all who hear to believe that the King of Kings has given his life for all. Let us pray to the Lord. For husbands and wives, parents and children, including expectant mothers Jamie, Catherine, Emma, and Jordan, and their unborn children, that the Lord would bless them, make his face shine upon them, and make known to them his saving power. that they in turn may make his truth known on the earth to the next generation. And for those who are single, that the Lord would bless them, provide them with deep friendships, and increase their joy. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are in the paths of the storms this weekend, those who are without power, and for those who are helping to keep us safe, the roads cleared, we pray that you would grant safety, provide what is needed, and restore their lives. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the nations and all who make, administer, and judge our laws, that we may walk in the path of justice and responsibly exercise liberty, and that peace might rule the nations and all people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the troubled, the sick, and the dying, especially for Hattie in critical care, Luann awaiting surgery, Nicole in cancer treatment, the Eagles' neighbor Sue on hospice care, Ron with cancer, George on hospice care, and Carol, his wife, Kate for strength and courage as she goes through her biopsy and cancer screen, and for Bob and Karen, as well as Diane, Tom, Marilyn, Melinda, Jared, Victor and Sandra, Dale, and Lauren, that by the prayers of Christ himself, they would be brought through their trials. For those who are mourning the death of friends and family members, especially those sorrowing over the death of Teresa, that they would find comfort in Christ. And with thanksgiving for hearing our prayers for Judy, that she would continue to recover and be restored, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who commune today, that as recipients of new life and eternal treasures in heaven, we might receive this feast for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith and love, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the unity of the church and harmony among its members, and for our life together in worship, witness, prayer, and service to those within and outside the household of faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In thanksgiving for the saints who remained faithful unto death and have received the crown of life, that we would be given courage to follow where they have led, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Hear us, Heavenly Father, for the sake of Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, for you have mightily governed and protected your holy church, in which the blessed apostles and evangelists proclaimed your divine and saving gospel. Therefore, with patriarchs and prophets, apostles and evangelists, with your servant Paul, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full.
be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 46, a psalm of prayer. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God is our refuge and strength, a very pleasant help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter, and he utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear, he burns the chariots with fire. Be still, I know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of the hosts is with us. God of Jacob is our fortress. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift. And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us, other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give